Good morning.
Mr. Hanif E.A. Benjamin. Now, just a short profile. You know, if I was to read all about him, we may stay here for about half an hour. So I'll just give you a synopsis of what Mr. Benjamin is bringing to you this morning. He is a clinical traumatologist and a clinical therapist. He's a licensed master of social work. Currently, he serves as the chairman of the board of management of the Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago. He is a founder and president and chief executive officer of the Center for Human Development Group of Companies, namely the Postgraduate Training Institute, the International Center for Meditation and Mediation Studies, and the Center for Change, a non-governmental organization. Mr. Benjamin is well qualified in his field because we can see that he holds a number of certifications. Behind his name, we have LMSW. We wonder what does that stand for? He has what you call a licensed master of social work. He also has a BSc and a CCT and a CFT, a lot of acronyms. Right? The Bachelor of Science is in Criminal Justice, where he graduated summa cum laude at Monroe College. He also has a clinical master's of social work. And we know for the next time we have him around, we may be having PhD to the end, because he's also a PhD doctoral student at the University of the West Indies. So let's put our hands together.
Spirit of the living God. Journeyed to be here today, because it was a journey.
and my co-pilot, blind as we were, did not give up faith in finding the location. I have been meaning to present this for some time. I think there was a move from a different day to this date. And even as I contemplated today, I have been asking myself, Lord, what is the message? Because you see, the Spirit must move me. And very few persons understand that when I come up with a folder, most times, 98% it is blank. And I may have scribbled on one sheet of paper. So now you know. Because most times, if not all the time, it is the Spirit that speaks. And I thank God each day, as I tell people, my life has always been but a Peter walking on water kind of life. And the topic today that is on our heart, our lips, our mind, and our soul is about nurturing Jesus-shaped families. And there is no pain than the pain of the hurt of children. There is no pain than the pain of a family who's hurting. And I remember yesterday when I got all these calls from the media concerning what I call to be an atrocity, monstrous, evil, having children sit among the dead for so long. It couldn't help but bring a tear to my eye. I cannot even begin to imagine what those children would have been facing for those dark, dark days. But it brings me to a different place, brothers and sisters, that a family. And if we really understand this thing called family and what it means to our society, it has moved beyond our yard, our gallery, our home. The word family has transcended to community of Trinidad and Tobago. And for many years, we have lost the true essence of what family is. Who we are. Our role and our responsibility. I was on a radio program this week, quite heated it was. And I remember the man is trying to say to me that children and authorities are supposed to fix and fix and fix. But I was trying to make a fundamental point. The children's authorities activated after something has occurred. It means then that the fabric of our family is deteriorating. When in one country of 1.2 trillion people, we have over 60,000 calls of abuse and over 90,000 active cases of abuse in this little country, we must ask ourselves, what are we really doing? Family. When they're telling me that we need to fix, and I keep asking, well, what is going on in our family? What is going on in our community? What is going on in our church, in our mandate, in our mosque? I keep going back to family. What divides us as family? And when I speak of family today, I'm not speaking about a mother and a father and a son and a daughter and two dogs and a cat. Yes, I know it was a long time. I'm talking about you and I. And the fact that a child can sit down, or three children can sit down in a house with a corpse for for 3 days, and no one was able to identify that something is wrong. It means then that the neighbor who's supposed to throw the eye to make sure that we're okay is no longer there. It means that the neighbor who's supposed to come through and say, yeah, what's up? Is no longer there. I remember in our impoverished state growing up, I didn't know we were impoverished because I thought life was nice. Until somebody tell me, hey, if you know you're poor. That's a moment joke. Telling you, I didn't know, I thought this is what life's supposed to be. I was happy. And I tell people again, also, from the beginning, that has grounded me to who I am today. Because now I understand why I need to give. Because I know what to live without. You see? But I remember the good old days when if mommy didn't have, somebody else did. And if somebody else didn't have, mommy had. It's so bad now that if I cook a food, my food has 20 days. I can't measure right for nothing. I just cook in a whole pot. Because that's how it was. Because you never know who might have passed by. I remember the days when the teachers became part of the family. I always remember the good old days, Robert. And my mother boys and we come. And I remember our school teacher who used to just give. And then when I went on to my mother, Junior Sec, may I so rest in peace, Miss Shan. And then when I went on to my mother, Senior Sec, Carol, to be Sec, we used to cook the pail out for all the way in the morning. And the bread and shine until us come to school for 7 o'clock in the morning and make sure we had food to eat. Because she understood that things were a little wrong at home. When she gave us $5 to travel for the week because it was dollar for max that day, even they had to fight for a seat. Those were the days, brothers and sisters, when we embraced families beyond the four walls of our home. When the teachers cared and cared differently. When the church cared, because let me tell you something. If Hannah didn't come to church, you see two ladies, all white, gloves and all, coming to the house. Oh, you know, we didn't see the church for 2 weeks. Everything all right? Are we knocking on our brother's door, our sister's door? Are we asking the question to our students in school, are you okay? Are we understanding the family that God has intended for us to have? And are we nurturing this family? I've had many conversations with Bishop on the role of the church. I've had many conversations with Father Martin on the role of the church in family and how our families continue to deteriorate. You see it every day, the pews are getting emptier and emptier. The people who are in church are now in their winter years, and we cannot seem to follow the spring and the summer of churches no more. Why is that? Why is that? I keep saying to people over and over, you cannot want your children to be praying mantis if they have never seen you pray. That can happen. You cannot inculcate in young people the spirit of Jesus and family life if they have not seen it practiced in their midst. So we have to think about what this family thing is and what it really means. Because I'm not sure if we are understanding the ramification of where we are now and 5 years from now. We are no longer talking about 10, 15 years. Remember when you talk about 20 years down the road? It has shortened to 3 and 2 and 5 years from now. Ask yourself, where are we today? My message this morning is quite simple, you know, because the Spirit just put on the heart there. It's quite simple. What are our roles collectively and individually? Because it is all well and good for us to congregate on a Saturday morning and have a prayer breakfast. But I want the conversation to go beyond the walls of the church, to go beyond the walls of Pleasantville Community Center. I want the conversation to go back to your families and to spread within the communities and to actually become families again. How many of you sit around the table? This is probably the first time in a long time you had a breakfast around the table with more than one person on it. A long time. Our dining room tables have become decorators. And WhatsApp is now the new pumping of the pot. Food ready. Okay, man, come in. You dish out the food and you disappear and you retreat into the corner. We no longer break bread. There was something special about breaking bread if it was just bread and butter even. There was a conversation that took place. There was a communion that took place when we sat and we spoke about life and we understood the learning and the teachings of life. We didn't need harm and lamb and down to sit around a table. But we sat only because it represented something. Now that the proverbial take a trip to the kitchen and pick out the food and disappear. When the dining room table is covered and it's looking pretty. Where we have more dinners on the couch in front of a TV than on the table together. Talk to them about today, honey. What went on today? How was today? You don't do that to me. And have some children who will say to you, well, I don't talk to mommy and daddy because they're always busy. There was something sacred about that petrichor whistle at 4 p.m. And that signified the end of our day. But here what's going on. Our phone has now become the computer where you are answering in 24/7, 365.25, I believe, here. And we are no longer spending that family time with children. It is so bad that when I tell people about spending time with children, they ask me, but I supposed to work? What do you want me to do? And I said, you're missing the point. You're missing the point because all I'm asking you to do is when you cut it up the dashi, the child is standing next to you singing a song. When you sweep it, the child holding the dustpan. When you wash it outside, the child whistling at you, reading about and telling them about the week. I'm not speaking about anything astronomical. I am talking about everyday, simple functioning. But here we're going on, you're rather than PD dash on the phone. So I know why you're working on that. You're putting that with one hand and on the phone. Or you're resting down there watching the show. Right over the sink. Yes. That moment used to be when the son or daughter, my uncle, absorbing the beauty of what mom or dad is. But now we don't have time. The child said, I'm just saying, and mommy, and you know what the little story is telling me, and mommy, and then daddy, and I'm telling you, and they're moving from story to story, and they don't know the beginning or the end. I've always said, I'm like, But you on your phone, really? Some children are so full, but now they say, you know, you're taking me on, man. We are sad, please. My challenge to you today is simple. One, let us bring Christ back into the world. Let us teach our children the power of God. And what I mean, our children cannot handle difficult situations because they have no resiliency. There is no platform for them to stand upon and say, you know what, we're going to get to this because of God. Suicidality is the order of the day. Depression and anxiety is the order of the day. Why am I treating so many children with anxiety and depression? Leave that for when you're 40 and midlife hit you. Why am I treating so many children who cannot handle the normal daily pressures? Because we are not bringing them up on the platform of God. But the problem is, it's just you. The problem is, there's no one joining hands with you. And so we are not teaching our children how to. I remember I was doing a training in trauma. And strangely enough, one of the participant father got ill. And so that evening on the Thursday, it's a 3-day training. And I was talking about resiliency. And I remember she saying her daughter, which is her grandfather, is in this ambulance going down there to the hospital. And this child started to lay hands. 8 years old. Started to lay hands and asked the Holy Spirit to heal granddad. Where do you think your child got it from? Because she knows that that is the call. She knows that that is what happens. Because she has seen it. She lives it. So without prompt, she knows granddad is ill. And she said, God be with granddad. Heal him. But if they don't see the example, if they are not living the example, they cannot do it. It is not okay for you to go to church and say, well, I'm going to go. And they stay home. And you go. And you probably ask God to guide their hearts and to lead them in. But brothers and sisters, we must become the example. On too many corners of my life, I am seeing peril. I am seeing hurt and I am seeing pain in the most heinous ways. And this is largely because of deterioration of our family life. It is largely because we have not lived what Christ is asking us to live in terms of our family. I was making the point on the breakfast table here. Like a child that I no longer subscribe. How many of you did sociology here? You know that book Harold Amos? The book heavy like me. You know that book? Listen, I'm not book heavy. It was the first most expensive book I've ever bought. And Harold Amos tell us what family life and all this kind of thing and primary and secondary and all kind of thing. And I say, I no longer subscribe to that. And let me tell you why. Say eight. No, you say eight.
Eight.
40. 1,000.
1,000.
A child spends up to 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, 1,000 hours of academic year with someone else besides mommy and daddy. And the 8 hours that I am speaking about is what I term 8 waking moments. Because you see, when they get up 5 o'clock in the morning, everybody busy trying to get out of the house. So now you're half dressed coming out of the house. And in the evening, everybody's busy getting ready for the next day. But a child spends in a school with someone else, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, 1,000 hours of academic year. At some point, your child will believe their teacher more than they will believe their mom and dad. But miss say, but sir say, the biggest influencers in a child life between the ages of 3 to 7 sits in a school. It means then that the way we create our families cannot just be mom and dad. It is now a school. Because a teacher will influence your child more than you will for about 7 years of that child's life. The influencers can no longer just be home and school. But when they come in church and they listen to the word of God and they take that into their heart and they go, it means that all of us, bar none, have a responsibility. And I promised someone that I will use the analogy in my next speech, and today happened to be that next speech, so I'll try to work this in. He said to me, we bought Domino's pizza. Well, it wasn't pizza, it was a calzone or some kind of thing. It didn't taste nice, but it does nothing for my wings to be sad. What are we going to do? I will not indulge frequently. Yeah, I'll try, but I think it's time. But while I was eating the food, I noticed that the box had red messages on it. On the thing to open, the little part to open, the pizza, it says you are about to dive in. Experience it. I said, but what's going to me? When you open the box, you see the life. Indulge. I said, what manner of messages is this hour, this Saturday? Who would have thought that an important aspect of this was the box? Who here ever buy a pizza and it came without a box? Who here ever bought a pizza, a 12-slice pizza, and only like you reach home? Every single component is critical to that pizza and to the experience of that pizza. Because the pizza can come without the packaging. And the pizza can come without 12 slices. You have to understand the life like a pizza. Where are you in this life? Are you the box? Are you the ingredient? Are you the dough? Are you the ketchup that they will put on the bottom? Because if you don't put the ketchup thingy, it's not a pizza. If you don't put it in a box, it's very strong. If you don't put the ingredients, it's just a pita bread. Ladies and gentlemen, in the life of family, we need to understand our role and our responsibility where we fall. So as a teacher at a school, you need to know what part of this pie you play. As mommy and daddy, you need to know what part of the pie you play. As children, you need to understand what part of the pie you play. Because all of us bad men make up what is called the experience. And if you don't take into account the power of the box, you miss the whole thing. Because if it's a carry to your box, no matter how insignificant the crumble that box at the end of the living of that pizza, yeah, that box serves a critical and important role. And look at that, we just crumble it up and we put it in the bin. And you know what? The box was okay being crumpled and put in the bin. You know why? The box said, I have fed Hanif. I can go in peace. All of us need to understand what God is saying to us in our different areas of our life in regards to our family life. We must understand what God has said to us. You know, just this week we celebrated, yes, of Saint Mary and all that kind of thing. And what is the message always behind that? Mary has always said to us, you know, listen to him. Be obedient. And that message transcends all of us everyday life. Because you must understand that family life is not only about now. Think about generations to come. And if you are not thinking about in the next 20, 30 years, what would my son or grandson become? What would my daughter become? What kind of husband or wife shall they develop into? Where in the world of academia they might fall? It means we are not preparing our children. I have said too long that people are, as a matter of fact, I think it was in Manoramjan Stadium, I made the statement probably before this very crowd, a couple years ago, that we misunderstand what bringing up children is about. There is a difference between what you have to do and what you must do. You have to give them clothing, shelter, and food. First up, we have to. But what you must do is mold and guide and groom and prune. Sometimes we spend spend more time pruning the plant outside than we spend pruning our own child. And so again, brothers and sisters, my message is an action call. An action call to every one of us in here. Barnum, to redefine family. To redefine family in light of Christ's message to us. Redefine family in what we want for our community and what we want for our children as they grow. My action call to you today is to become actively involved in our children's lives. To become actively involved in, even if it's once per month, you remove the decoration and you tell me. If it's once a month, have a breakfast. You know you have five families living in the San Fernando, probably here. Every week you go by somebody and you have a food somewhere. This Sunday by this one, that Sunday by that one. It is a travesty that you have family and you don't know. And it is a travesty that after 5 or 6 days, you now roll up to see what happened. My action call to you is a simple one. Take charge. Take charge. Shape our families in the likeness of God. Shape our families in the footsteps of God. Bring family life back to what it is. Remember when you started the beautiful? Remember those days I tell you when you turn out the poor? Under the candle light. You see, we have a TV, you know. Those were the days we sing songs. We play cards as a family. We told stories. We learned history in those good old days. Once a month, because I don't know how you know in here. Once a month, put on the phone. You see, because let me tell them once a week, I know a lot of come in for therapy. Once a month, put on the phone. Introduce games night. Now it's so bad, they play stick, and I'm on the phone now. No, turn dice, and get facts, and quarrel. Once a month, bring back games night. I'm telling you, I have $1 million to go out for the fancy dinner. But you know what? You know how we used to eat pizza long time? Like, sometimes now we eat the pizza, now you take the bread, and you bring the cheese, you cut the tomato, and the thing, and you put it in the oven. Now it's pizza bread. That was a beautiful night. On a rainy night, I'm going to break the cocoa and make some tea and fry a bake. And that would have been a beautiful night with cat fry bake and cocoa tea. I am saying to you, brothers and sisters, that the action call today is a simple one. Let's take back our family. Let us regain our family. Let us bring our children up in the right way. Let us give them the tools. Because let me tell you a secret. Chances are later on you'll say, see, the tools are the ones. And that's perfectly okay now, in a sense. But let it not be said that you didn't give them the tools. Let it not be said that you abdicated your responsibility. And the reason why I like this congregation here is because this congregation speaks to all of community. How many teachers are up in here? Teachers, schools, how many schools are in here? More than I am, sir. How many schools are you in charge of, doctor? How many schools are you in charge of?
Just one.
Right. So if we have school, we have church, we have work, we have community. Understand your role in this pizza business. Understand how every aspect of this process is a critical one. And understand what you will do to add value to this critical process of rebuilding our family. I want a campaign to rebuild the family life and tragedy. Because why I want people to report child abuse, I want numbers to go down. Not because they stop report, but because we start to understand differently. And so, brothers and sisters, you see, I'll always call you for the other time it's teaching here. I thank you And I ask God to continue to bless us on this journey of revamping family life. I'm not sure the church is in a position to declare, to move, to start family life as a serious movement. As a serious movement. Because I have recognized, as a professional, as a lay person, in whatever sphere of life I may traverse, it brings me back always to one pillar, and that is family life. If we have family life, we can save Trinidad and Tobago. Answer. May God continue to bless us all. Thank you.
Thank you.